So you guys do know, on Wednesday nights, we are now in this series titled Applied. We're going to be, remember, we are going to be going through very key areas of Bible prophecy and prophetic events, prophetic signs, how to interpret them rightly so you don't turn into a goofball and you know what you're doing. You don't make stuff up. You let the Bible interpret the Bible. But before we go any further, let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we ask that as we are here in a church service talking about the future that the Bible has revealed to us, Lord, nations are focused on the Middle East right now. They're not focused in the South Pacific or the South Atlantic, the North Atlantic. They're not focused on the Indian Ocean, or they're not focused in Singapore. The world is focused in the Middle East right now. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight, as always, and we thank you that there's no Hebrew word for the word coincidence. And here we are in the 21st century. We're going to be studying Bible prophecy and looking at current events, mostly specifically tonight. And that being the case, your word has anticipated these things for thousands of years. And my prayer tonight, for those of us who know you, our faith would be increased. And Lord, for those who do not know you, that they would see that it's folly to not know you. That it's the ultimate gambling act to live one moment longer without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The hour is late, the days are dangerous, the time is crazy weird, and yet at the same time, 100% biblical. Thank you for that. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would move in our midst with truth from your word. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, you guys, so we're going to dive into this tonight, and we're going to be looking at a lot of information. And so, yes, the theme is applied. That's what we're looking at. That's what we're doing on these Wednesday nights. Tonight, we have to interrupt, though, and make it both an applied service and a update service because of what's going on in the world around us. So I'm going to ask you tonight if you would certainly take notes, but you would scan the QR code. There's going to be tons of information on the QR code, more than what we'll get to, I trust, in the notes tonight. So you're going to want to get that. A lot of it is headline news. Excuse me. But it's vital, absolutely vital. I've got so much information that I'm going to ask you to forgive me in advance as I stumbled through some things in a clumsy way to get that piece of headline or that data in regards to what we're looking at. But getting it started, it is important that we remember this. The very theme verse. Don't ever forget this. Memorize this verse. Write it down. Keep it always for a lot of reasons. John 14:29 is what where we'll start every Wednesday night out saying, and that is, and now, this is Jesus speaking, and now I have told you before, think of that, it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I love this, I've said it before, I'm going to keep saying it. Bible prophecy, as Jesus says right here, is an evangelistic tool. We have often shied away from Bible prophecy, or we've been taught to stay away from it. And I think that's the devil's mischief telling us this. If we get into Bible prophecy, Jesus says, number one, I told you in advance, so watch out for it. Oh, and by the way, when it happens, you're going to be reminded, you're going to believe, you're going to understand that I am the one, I'm He. I am the one, true God, who has revealed to you the future in advance, and I am the only God who can do that. And we need to remember that because this separates, Bible prophecy separates Christianity, Judeo-Christian, Old Testament, New Testament, apart from all cults, All other religions, none of them have this, and you've got it in your hand right now before you, and it's pretty awesome. So tonight we're going to be looking at this message, update, prophecy, look, and it is this. Elam, write this down or take a shot of it if you didn't get the notes. Elam, the setting of the stage. Elam. See, what is Elam? Well, Elam's in the Bible, and you're going to know a lot about Elam tonight, but we're going to be going into an area of Bible tour, so to speak, that, frankly, you may have never been to before. It's just not a regular stop along the way. But please, in your note-taking, write that down. Elam, that is a place. You're going to know about it in a moment. And we're putting it this way, the setting of the stage. Where are we tonight? On what is tonight, on this date of today, February 25th, while we have the largest military buildup since the Gulf War, and it's expanding rapidly by the hour in the Middle East, and what is going to happen? Everybody's asking the questions, and there's a reason why they're asking the questions. There's reasons why we must study the Bible on this one, as we do all, but this is really remarkable what's taking place, or it could be. But this is important, everybody. You know, how many weeks have we been together and the U.S. has been in the Persian Gulf area? Has it been close to a month? And you do know now, right, that in the last 8 days, Russia and China have not only brought their navies in and submarines in, but they have been shipping constant cargo flights from Russia and China into Iran, and that delivery, as best as we can, is something that concerns us very much. In other words, with all the pause that's been taking place with this buildup, and I know on the political side, right, I guess, we are supposed to be going through negotiations in Geneva with other nations in Iran, and it goes good one moment, bad the other, all this kind of talk. But interestingly enough, I think we said this last week, I'm not sure, but it was very recent. Russia and China have very much ordered Iran, don't do anything. Just wait it out. Now, you got to be thinking for a moment, why would they say that? Why would they say that? Why would Russia and China, who's arming Iran right now, why would they say, don't do a thing, wait it out? Well, I guess that would mean if you wait it out, it's going to be good for us and good for you, because we'll stockpile you more, and there'll be more American warships and aircraft in the potential theater of war where we can bring all these guys in. They got to go through the Strait of Gibraltar, and they got to go through the Strait of Hormuz, and let's get them all into the pinch points, and we'll destroy the entire U.S. Navy. I mean, what's going on? What are they thinking? Why wait with all that's there? We don't know, but we know what the Bible has to say, and so we're going to get ready to do that. Write these things down, if you would. Remember this, Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. Whenever you study Bible prophecy, it's not a mystery. The Bible says in the book of Revelation very clearly, write the things which you have seen. This is Jesus speaking, by the way, to John. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Do you remember that? Do you guys remember what we connected this to? Three buckets. Can we see pictures of those buckets again? There's things when you read the Bible, we're going to do it tonight. We're going to practice what we preach tonight with what we're about to read. Does what we're reading in the Bible have to deal only with the past? In other words, it's over. That's done or that's fulfilled. For example, I'll give you one that's in the past and it's done, it's fulfilled. It's a Bible prophecy. It's over. It will never happen again. But you remember it every Palm Sunday. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 tells us that the Messiah would come into Jerusalem riding on the back of a little donkey that's never been ridden before. And that's how Israel was to know that their Messiah has arrived. Zechariah 9, 9, written many hundreds of years before Jesus was born. It was fulfilled on Palm Sunday. and that is a prophecy that we put in the past bucket. It's done. You got me, everybody? Next bucket, the things that are. Jesus says, write down the things that are. What is going on in your lifetime? Now remember, this instruction is given by Jesus to the seven letters to the seven churches. That's important. So that means it spans the entire age of certainly the church age for the last 2,000 years. So he would say tonight, hey church, what do you see happening right now in your life? This is critically important, everybody, to where we're going. What if Jesus tonight said, what are you guys seeing on the news tonight? What are you guys seeing on the headlines and what's trending? Jesus would ask that tonight and you'd be expected to answer back. And so imagine, here we are, and what are we talking about? A massive looming war in the Middle East that many of us have not seen in a very, very long time. Some of you, not even in your lifetime. That's what's happening now, Jesus. Eyes are on the Middle East. And by the way, the key role play being lived out is this nation called Iran, and their agenda is all about destroying Israel. Imagine if you walked down the streets right now, are you able to speak to the Khomeini and ask him, what are you all about? It's simple. Why don't you listen to us? We broadcast it every Friday night in our sermons. We will not stop until Israel's destroyed and America's destroyed. That's why in Tehran, you walk up and down the street saying, death to America, death to Israel, right? You guys, are you tracking with me? You're living this right now. That's what we're seeing. And the target is Israel and America. Now, the only reason why America is the first target is because America supports Israel and protects Israel. The enemy knows that. But by the way, all the rhetoric that's going on around with all these bozo podcasters that have gone insane, those people have gone nuts. I actually think Satan has gotten inside of their head. Why? Because they have turned against Israel just like the Iranians have. Or the Iranian leadership, not the people. I saw a video the other day of, you know, the rioting still taking place on the streets by the people who want these religious leaders to be removed. How brave do you have to be to do this in Tehran? They're waving Iranian flags and Israeli flags. In Iran! Iranians! But the topic tonight, the topic is death to America, death to Israel. Listen, if anybody says to you, death to America and or death to Israel, yeah, that's a bad spirit, folks. And just because they're famous podcasters or TV hosts doesn't make one bit of difference. In fact, it makes them more dangerous. So do keep that in mind. And also this, really quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. This gets fun. Watch this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For prophecy, that is the revelation of scripture, never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the entire Bible, this is great. You ought to write this down if you don't have the notes. The entire Bible is remarkable because it's a self-authenticating message system. Again, remember, if somebody says, well, I don't read the Bible because the Bible just speaks about itself. The Bible speaks about itself. It speaks about science. It speaks about humanity. It speaks about sin. It speaks about righteousness. It speaks about everything. And it presents it in such a way that it begs you to come and attack it to see if it's worthy of your faith. The Bible's not afraid of anyone testing it. In fact, the Bible goes like this, come on, take me on, because if you do, you'll probably fall down like many other atheists before you and become a believer. It's awesome, absolutely awesome. And so when we examine the scriptures, it qualifies itself. And when matched against history, guess what? History confirms the Bible's origin. When we see what the Bible has to say and then history is fulfilled, then we know that God has written it in advance. And how so? Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21, declare what is to be, presented. God says, let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. I love when he's kind of going off like that. That's how God flexes, by the way. Verse 22, turn to me and be saved. Note this, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I want to dial down on that for a moment for where we're going tonight. All you ends of the earth. Jewish friends, listen, guess what? That's you and everybody else. That's Jew and Gentile. Hey, listen, that's Jew and Iranian, Persian. It's important to what we're talking about tonight. Isaiah 42, verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Wow. That's your Bible. So number one, as we look at this right now together, here we go. Mark it down. Elam. What is this? Elam is in the news today, but never like this. It's going to make sense to you in a moment. Number one, Elam pre-existed before the king of Cyrus, or King Cyrus, I should say. King Cyrus, very famous, very powerful king of the Persians. Remember this, before there was ever the Persians, there was Elam. So what is Elam? When we make mention in our applied series tonight, Elam, the setting of the stage, we're going somewhere with this. Mark it down in your notes. Elam, Persia, is today called modern-day Iran. It's all the same. It's all the same. Now, we do not get the name Iran in the Bible, but we do have the name Persia and Elam. The name Iran is a more of a modern construct. It doesn't matter. It's the same place, as you'll see soon. But the question is, are we now watching, possibly, the beginning of a war that could bring down the Iranian religious tyrannical rule that started on, I think, February 11th, 1979? Was anybody alive in 1979? I remember that happening. I remember that coming down on through the news. In 1979, the Shah of Iran was overthrown by religious radicals, the Khomeinis, the Ayatollahs, and they promised, listen to this, they promised a very, very fair, everybody would make the same money, there'd be no more poverty, we'll take care of you. There's this group of about 10 of us that are super clerics, and we'll watch over the other clerics, and we're all going to make sure that religious law is imposed, and Islam will see to it that you are all well taken care of, and everyone has a voice. And so everybody got out into the streets and overthrew the Shah, and which was a friend to many Western countries, including Israel and the United States. And he was deposed. He was removed. He fled the country. And in a short order, a couple of months, those religious leaders, once they had their power base installed, turned on the people and enslaved them. By the way, beware of anybody who promises you a lot of stuff. They're setting you up to enslave you. I mean, I'm not saying it's the Democrat Party, but I thought I'd just... When somebody, look what's going on in New York City. That guy promised everything. And boy, is he in trouble tonight. What's his name? Mandani. Poor guy, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what he's doing. He made all these promises and so everybody voted for him and got in line. Hey, where's my donut? And he's looking around, he can't find any donuts to give to everybody. So I don't know how long that's going to last, but watch out for politicians who promise you stuff, okay? But this is very, very important. Here we go. Jeremiah chapter 49. You can remain seated. I'll read it to you. Listen up, everybody. We're talking, we're stepping back in time about 2,700 years from tonight, maybe 2,800 years. Verse 34, Jeremiah 49, verse 34, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam, Iran, Persia. This is its origin. Elam is a man found in the book of Genesis. He is he's well recorded there. Just he has descendants. Okay? So that man is long gone dead now by the time Jeremiah comes along. So what's going on here? So this is the word of the Lord that's to Jeremiah, the prophet, against Elam. So Jeremiah, speak this against Elam. Pay close attention, everybody. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's armies. Wow. Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the foremost of their might. Against Elam, I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven and scatter them toward all those winds. There shall be no nations, pay close attention, where the outcast of Elam will not go. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before those who seek their lives. I will bring disaster upon them, my fierce anger, says the Lord. I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. I will set my... Oh, exactly, wow. I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from there... What? The king and the princes, says the Lord, but it shall come to pass in the latter days... I will bring back the captives of Elam, says the Lord. This is absolutely amazing. Number one, many of you who know your Bible, you're saying, well, that sounds a lot like God's promises to Israel. Yes, it does. But it's not Israel he's talking about. This is remarkable. Because you and I have always been brought up thinking, and rightfully so, Elam's bad. Elam's bad. There's a lot of bad stuff the Bible says about Elam in the Bible. Elam. Did you know that Elam and his descendants, they were one of the five armies that went out against Abraham and fought him, and Abraham defeated the five kings. Remember that? Elam, not good. Okay? And yet, God's got a plan. So here's what we're going to be thinking about tonight. That prophecy that you just read, are you sitting down? Listen. That prophecy we just read, there is no historian and no biblical scholar that will tell you that the prophecy of Elam was fulfilled and it's done and completed. Nobody. So remember the bucket you saw about the past? It doesn't go there. But it does go in the bucket of the present. Because you and I, as we sit here on the map, there is a nation called Iran, which the Bible calls it Elam or Persia. Are you with me?
Yes.
I would get goosebumps right about now because it's like Bible. The Bible's amazing. And according to what you just read, there is a future bucket that applies, right? So we're going to look at this. We're going to dissect this together. In setting it up, in tonight's news, and what we read a moment ago, jump on over to Ezekiel 38. Now, just for the record, everybody, I am not confident enough to say that Jeremiah 49 and Ezekiel 38 are the exact same scenario. They could be. Maybe they're not. But let's read this. This is Ezekiel, a contemporary. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, set your face against Gog. That's a title of a person. Of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. We know that those are all regions north of Israel. And prophesy against him, him being Gog, G-O-G. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia is who? Iran or Elam. Ethiopia and Libya are with them, all of them with shields and helmet. By the way, those are all Muslim nations. Helmet, Gomer and all its troops, and the house of Togarmah, that's Turkey, Turkey or Turkiya today. We say Turkey, they say Turkiya. From the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Verse 7, prepare yourself. That is Gog. God is saying, hey, Gog, you better prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. Can you mark the word guard in your Bible? This is important. The reason being is that the word guard in Hebrew is mishmar, and it means this. It means to bring about confinement, custody of, to keep a watch over. It can be, by the way, positive or negative. To be a supplier, provider, also means to be a prison. I love this next part. Place of confinement, jail, or grave. Gog, you're going to assemble an army that's going to come against Israel, if you keep reading that chapter, in the last days, and you're going to be a guard to those nations. You're going to be a supplier to those nations. You're going to give those nations. You're going to provide for those nations that are listed. We read them a moment ago. Oh, and by the way, you're also going to be their grave. You will also be the grave for them. You're going to be pulling them down. It's a dead end for them. How does that play into this current scenario? We don't know. We don't know how this is going to go. But Russia is in the area. China's in the area. That's interesting because we don't see anything about China in the Bible. But listen, everybody, we don't see anything about America in the Bible either. Okay, people want to think so, but it's not for sure. But that said, this is pretty remarkable. So I want you to dive into this. Look at verse 34. Jeremiah 49, verse 34. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam, Persia, or Iran, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. This is to set the prophecy in its place. Note takers, mark this down. There is what's called in Bible prophecy study the near fulfillment and the far fulfillment. So, God is setting the stage. Zedekiah is the king. So you ask the question, did Judah ever have a king named Zedekiah? The answer is absolutely yes. And even secular history proves this. Zedekiah is being called by God at this time to follow God and to obey God. Zedekiah later on in his life winds up becoming disobedient to God. And the prophet Jeremiah will say to him, Zedekiah, you're going to be taken captive. And you're going to be taken to Babylon. And you'll never see Babylon. Did you hear what I just said? Yes. You're going to be taken captive. You're going to be captured by Babylon. And you're going to be taken to Babylon. And you're never going to see Babylon. And people used to say, that's a contradiction in the Bible. Until you read the Bible more carefully to discover that Zedekiah was captured by the Babylonians. And they brought the lineage of his kingdom in front of him. His sons were paraded in front of him. They tied Zedekiah to a pole, and they tied his forehead back to that pole, and they brought his two sons in front of him, and they disemboweled his sons in front of him, killing them, and then they gouged out his eyes, and then they put fish hook like latches in his lip, and they pulled him to Babylon. He went to Babylon, but he never saw Babylon. Next time you think the Bible's something funny, be careful. It's more specific than you can ever imagine. Amen. So that's the stage. And look at verse 35. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I the Lord will break the bow of Elam, Iran, Persia, the foremost of their might. The biggest mistakes I've made in reading Bible prophecy is that I don't take it specific enough. Watch this. Don't be vague about Bible prophecy. There's nothing vague about Bible prophecy. Thus says the Lord of hosts, that is the Lord of heaven's armies, behold, I. Nobody else. But watch this. God will break the bow of Elam, but how God does that, that's where you and I better pay attention. Because God doesn't reach down out of a cloud and break the bow in Elam. How does God deal with nations? Thank you. With other nations. That's why God said, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant to punish Israel. Yeah. God said, Cyrus, he's my servant. Because Israel, Judah, has rebelled against me. I'm going to bring this ungodly nation, this godless people, they're going to be my tool. They're going to come in against you, and they're going to take you captive, all because you wouldn't obey me. You didn't want me, so I got out of the way. And when I get out of the way, bad stuff comes. And they're going to take you away captive, and they'll be my servant. Wow. So listen, is God going to break the bow of Elam? I'm asking you this question. You're looking at the answer. God says, I'm going to break the bow of Elam. Guess what? We study prophecy. We cannot find where God breaks the bow of Elam in the context of chapter 49, these verses that are before us. We can look at battles that Elam went through. We know that Abraham, for example, defeated Elam. But check this out. Never in the context has it ever happened, church. And might I remind you, this is the 25th of February. I've got to tell you that. It has never happened in human history that God has reached down and broke the bow of Elam in the context of these verses we're reading. Keep that in mind. Next verse, verse 36. Against Elam, I will bring the four winds from the four corners of heaven and scatter them, the people of Elam, toward all those winds. In other words, by the way, I should say this. I can just hear somebody saying it now. Against Elam, I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven and scatter them. Some of your Bibles say from the four corners of the earth. The earth's not flat. If you think the earth's flat, you're in the wrong church. We've all been educated in here. The only way for you to see the entire globe at the exact same time is if you take a razor blade and you cut the skin off of your globe and lay it out flat. You have to lay it out. You cut it in such a way so that there's four corners to that round globe. You got all that? You see it on maps all the time. Okay? But when you want to put it in its accurate shape, you would make a ball out of it. Okay? So when the Bible says four corners, like the Marine Corps says, we can respond to anywhere in the world within 24 hours from the four corners of the earth. That's one of their bragging points, okay? God is saying, here's what's going to go down. When I break the bow of Elam, the people of Elam, Persia, they're going to scatter to the four corners of the earth. Everybody got that? Guess what? That's never happened before. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It happened after February 11th, 1979. Never before in Persian history did Persians flee the Persian nation until Islam took power over Iran. And the people of Elam fled. Are you hearing me? It's never happened before until 1979. You are living right now in a area of Bible prophecy regarding Elam that you may not have thought walking into the church tonight to think that. Verse 37, for I will cause Elam to be dismayed. So here's how he's going to break the bow. By the way, what's a bow for? Launching things. A bow is for launching arrows. What is the Khomeini saying that he's going to do, that if we attack Iran for their nuclear weapons program, they are going to incinerate Israel? So think of that. That's what they said. You shoot at us, we are going to vaporize Israel. How would they do that? They would use a bow, a launcher. Are you tracking? God says, I'm going to break your bow. I'm going to break the bow. Could it be, you guys, that's what they're threatening. I'm not making this up. That's what the religious, apocalyptic Shia Muslims in Iran, the leadership, that's what they believe. They believe that they're actually called by their God to create a cataclysmic ball of fire on the earth that will bring their Messiah, the Mahdi, to rescue and establish the world as a Muslim caliphate, the entire globe. That's their Bible. That's their Quran eschatology. Guess what? The Bible says the opposite. So this is very important, because we as a nation, we are operating, so to speak, politically. We have a president, we have a Congress, we have a military, we have ships, we have a navy, we've got an air force. Listen, the Khomeinis, the religious zealots in Iran, they don't think like that. Do you understand? They don't even think like that. They think like this. We're called by God to destroy all of them. You say, Jack, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter what you believe. They believe it. Do you understand that, people? It doesn't matter what you believe. That's what they believe. This gets pretty crazy when you're talking to somebody and, well, I don't think they're going to do anything weird, when they've already determined weird is what I want to do. Are you hearing me? This is incredible. And you got to keep asking yourself, context, put these things together, and here's what tonight is a big announcement. These things together have never happened before. And we're on the brink of something very big. How is it going to go? Only God knows. But if I had to trust the Bible tonight instead of the news, I'm going to go with the Bible. God says, I'm going to cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before those who seek their life. I will bring disaster upon them. So judgment. My fierce anger, that's another declaration of God's judgment, says the Lord. I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. This is what God says. Is that heavy?
Yeah.
Is that serious?
Yes.
That's big time. It's never happened before. Are we on the brink of that happening? Are we on the brink? Well, scenario number one. Could God be behind what's happening right now in the Middle East to the point? Remember, God uses all nations, and all nations are imperfect. Can we all deal with that right now? All nations are imperfect. But when God judges another nation, he usually uses that nation's worst enemy. You know that, right? For example, when Israel would not obey God, God would send the Philistines against them. Or if Israel didn't obey God, God would send them the invasion of Egypt or Assyria. I mean, on and on it goes. Who or what nation is Iran's number one target to remove first? They burn that country's flag in their streets on a regular basis. No, United States, America, not Israel. That's the second choice. Because they know they can't take out Israel until they take out America. They got to take out America, then they can take out Israel. That's what they think. I think if we obey God and bless Israel, I think that protects us. I really do. I think Israel is an insurance policy. Don't tell Tucker Carlson that. He'll wet his pants. He'll have a heart attack. Did you see Ambassador Huckabee give Tucker Carlson a little schoolboy lesson? Yeah, you ought to watch that. That should go in the Smithsonian. And so he says, I'm going to send a sword after them until I've consumed them. Verse 38, I will set my throne in Elam. What? And will destroy from there the king and the princes, says the Lord. Okay, so hang on a minute. I thought the Bible said God was going to put his throne in Zion. He is. What's he saying here? You already know the answer. You're just being timid right now. You know the answer. God says, how about if I read it like this? I will set my authority in Elam. Oh, I would say I will set my government. I will set my rule, my will. God says, I will set my throne in Elam. God's not going to have two thrones, one in Zion and the other one in Elam. But God will be the Lord of the whole earth. Exactly, the world. I will set my throne in Elam. I will destroy from there their king. Listen. God says, I'm going to destroy their government, their rule, their authority, their power. Church family. Something had to happen to cause those of Elam to be driven away and out of Elam to the four corners of the earth. And what happens after that is that God will judge that nation, starting with their king, by knocking their bow or breaking their bow so that they cannot launch. And then God turns around and says that I'm going to bring back all those who have been dispersed to the four corners of the earth. I'm going to bring them back in that order. We're talking ancient Elam, but the clock, so to speak, started ticking on February 11th, 1979. And they went out to all the four corners of the earth, escaping, running from the Shia faction of Islam. There's the Sunni and the Shia. And I'll show you more about this as we approach the end. But verse 39. But it shall come to pass in the latter days. This is where, are you guys awake?
Yes.
This the latter days, the last days, the end of days, the last times. Ever since May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation a second time based upon Isaiah chapter 66, okay, the ancient prophet Isaiah said Israel would be born a second time in one day. And that happened on May 14th, 1948. The United Nations recognized Israel as a nation. That started the last days. In many ways. Not exclusively, but in many ways. But it shall come to pass in the latter days, I will bring back the captives of Elam. Where have they been? Where have they been? Exactly. I'm going to bring them back, says the Lord. That's his promise. Okay? So this, and we're going to end, we're going to end with this part and then give you tons of information. It's important that we realize that Elam has a very specific place in the Bible. All of a sudden, you saw these verses and some of these things you've never even considered before. God says, I'm going to actually redeem it. A, a, a land that has been a real trouble to my people, a land that has not obeyed me, a land that has been very, very foreign to me, and yet I have a plan for them. But first I got a clean house. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. This is speaking about Israel from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, which is another word for Babylon, and from Hamath, which is Syria, and the islands of the sea. God made this promise to the nation of Israel. God has made a promise to the remnant of Elam. My point is this tonight. I'm going to show you some things, and I want you to be thinking about the fact that what you read here in Jeremiah, has never been fulfilled in Bible prophecy. And all of a sudden, we know this. The government went into the hands of a death cult of Islam and has terrorized their people since 1979. That same group has vowed the destruction of the United States and Israel since 1979. That nation has its king and its government that God says, I'm going to judge you with my mighty anger. And how am I going to do it? I'm going to break your bow. I'm going to break your ability to wage war. And when I do that, and after I've done that, I will bring back all those who are out to the corners of the earth. I'm going to bring them back. Wow. Why should we care about this stuff? Well, the great leader of Iran, he, and probably for good reason, said, and I quote, the graveyard of American arrogance. He says the Persian Gulf will become the graveyard of American arrogance. Is America arrogant? I think we are. Is his statement morally justified, that do we deserve to be sunk to the bottom of the Persian Gulf? I think we deserve that as a nation, not you, as a nation. Did you, by the way, if you think that's a little harsh, did you see last night's State of the Union address? It's not that you saw it or not, it's that you saw highlights of it. There was a woman there whose daughter, if I remember right, was a Ukrainian daughter. Her daughter was Ukrainian, and her daughter was brutally murdered. It was where was that? In Charlotte, thank you. I kept thinking New York. In Charlotte. Did you guys all see when that happened? She was sitting there, beautiful girl, and that guy came up behind her and just started stabbing her in the throat. It was all caught on the camera. We all watched it on YouTube. And the mother was there last night. And President Trump was looking at her and he was applauding, and everyone in that glorious chamber stood up. All the Democrats stayed seated. And Trump looked over to them and said, you are sick. Seriously, go watch it. And then the U.S. Hockey team came in. Everybody stood up, except those guys over there. I mean, on and on it went. It was really unbelievable. I mean, seriously insane. We're a messed up country. Okay, so we're not perfect. But Iran believes they have the moral high ground over us. Morally, maybe they do. I don't know. I've never been there. I don't plan on going there. But I know this. I know that they have the wrong message. I know that they have the wrong God. And so we should care. Because it's whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. And this could be something that happens very soon. So you guys, in this last several days, Russia and China have brought in incredible armaments, especially China. I don't like the way this makes me feel, but we have our great military or a great navy in both of these limited bodies of water with two straits on either side, this Gibraltar and Hormuz. And now we find out that China has brought in something that the United States has no defense against, and it is a hypersonic missile that can be launched with just three guys can launch this thing, and it is so fast that we can't stop it, and it can completely destroy an aircraft carrier. That makes me nervous. If God's not with us, this makes me really nervous. In other words, I'm praying that Jeremiah 49 is about to happen. If it's not Jeremiah 49, we might be in a hot mess. Because China and Russia have joined the staging of the battle as we sit here. You're talking about the United States versus Iran, Russia, and China. Listen, that's four of the top largest militaries in the world. Three against one. Unless God is using, and we better be humble. We better be careful. Is God using this situation to fulfill Jeremiah 49? You may very well know this in the next few days or weeks. Many of you are asking, are we going to go to Israel? We're in contact with Israel constantly. Everything is on. Israel says, oh, don't worry about it. We know more about stuff before it happens. Don't worry about it. But if it's not safe, we're shutting down. And so if they shut down, we don't go. But many of us are going in, three or four weeks, something like this? Lord willing, right? That said, I want to run through this very fast just to give you an idea. I'm going to run through these countries, if you guys could put this up. Let's start with Lebanon. Everybody, Islam is divided into two camps, Sunni and Shia. Okay, so let's start with this. No, yes, no, not it. The list of nations, way at the back, you guys, back of the notes. And then we can come back to this. Lebanon, 27-30% Sunni. Shia is the one you want to watch out for. Shia, they both cannot allow you to live, but one will kill you sooner. Shia is very violent. In fact, Shia will kill Sunni. Remember that. So just look at this and see how a little, it just takes a little bit of the other side. Look at, my goodness, look at Jordan. 92-95% Sunni. A lot of Sunnis just want to be left alone. They just want to live life. They probably want to become Christians. Shia, they're running around with a knife in their mouth looking for, it's just crazy. And they'll kill, again, Shia will kill Sunni. Saudi Arabia, Shia, 10-15%. Turkey, 1-2%. Syria, 1-2%. You know how many problems there are in Syria regarding Islam? It's the 1-2% that's causing it. Next slide. Egypt, just barely more than 1%. Qatar, 10-15%. That's not good. United Arab Emirates, 10-15% also. Yemen, 35-45%. Doesn't that explain a lot of the news? Yemen, the violence there and all of that is absolutely incredible. Let's run through some headlines and have you go home with your head on fire, okay? So, Trump demands that Iran promise never to build a nuclear weapon in State of the Union address. Okay, everybody listen up. Trust me. Trump told them, I want you to promise never to build a nuclear weapon. He said it. Do you think Trump thinks that they'll say, no, we promise? He has to say this. He has to say this. Next slide. We're going to just go through this. Iran slams Trump's State of the Union. Lies, the Ayatollah says, but heads back to the negotiation table with the U.S. Why? Because Russia and China told them, stall, drag it out. The Iranians have been told, tuck this thing, tuck it, tuck, tuck, tuck. Don't, just run the Americans' time clock out. It can't go that long. Imagine if they drug this out long enough to where there was either an assassination on a U.S. president or Congress members or some sort of thing that disrupted the equilibrium of our power base. What's going on? Why would... That's a question I can't answer. Why is Russia and China saying, just play the game, don't do anything? Next slide. Iran ready for any step to achieve U.S. deal. Oil slides ahead of Trump. That is before the State of the Union. Keep going, slide-wise. U.S. raises stakes. Okay, this is amazing. Yeah, I mean, we already know this. The massive buildup of F-22s. That are now based in Israel, but not only in Israel. It's never before seen. By the way, that we have some of the numbers, but the numbers changed 2 hours ago, where 8 new F-22s came into the area, which brings the number to a really high number. It's incredible. Next slide. Gerald Ford expected to dock in Haifa. It is now in Haifa. It's getting... refueled and taking on its squadron. The squadron was advanced. It was flown over there. There was from Europe and from central U.S. to some of the Middle Eastern countries. There was a, you know, we have the flight, you know, we have gas stations all along the way. You know that. KC-46s and KC-135s. And so now in Haifa, the Ford will receive something like 78 aircraft. It's massive. Next, this probably bores 99% of the people in here tonight. U.S. buildup of warships and fighter jets tracked near Iran. That picture, by the way, is taken in Mission Bay, San Diego. But anyway, next slide. This is interesting. This is big stuff, people. You can look at it for yourself. This is so old already. This is less than a week ago. And so, for example, it says 11 times F-22A Raptor, 6 on the way. We are way beyond that. 30 F-35s, we're way beyond that now. 6 Growlers. I think you only need 6 Growlers to make things really bad for everybody else. They don't shoot anything. They just really mess with your head. The Growler is an electronic, it's an electronic platform flying, it's an aircraft that causes people to see things that are not there. If you're flying, if you're a Russian fighter jet and you're flying along, you swear that there's nobody in front of you and there could be 5 F-22s, you'll never see them. By the way, that's Israeli technology. Anyway, I'm not going to bore you with all that stuff, but you see the bottom right-hand corner, Prince Sultan, do you see those AWACS? It's called AWACS. Those things, it's just, the only way that you could stop all this from doing its job is if you set up an EMP bomb. That is detonate from space a nuclear weapon. That's what an EMP bomb is. Instead of it getting real close to the Earth, which does like the Hiroshima Nagasaki thing, it's detonated in high altitude and it causes all electronics to fail. The United States is extremely vulnerable to EMP. If that were to happen, that is the unthinkable. Next slide. We already know this. It's okay. The Israeli military says it's okay. Public, fine. Israelis bracing for impact. Home front command readies for Iranian fallout. Okay. Just keep going. Israeli officials of U.S. Iran. Yes. Okay. Yeah, we've all known this. This is part of the psychological difficulty. We've been told that the battle is imminent. We've been hearing that for 3 weeks. So you're like a sprinter at the Olympics and the guy never shoots the gun. I mean, how long can you stay there? That's not a good thing. Keep going. Again, remember when you see Iran, think of Elam. Netanyahu speaks of new axis of encircled Sunni-Shia threats. Yeah, true. Okay, this is scary. When Israel says we will use unimaginable force if Elam attacks, Netanyahu warns at Knesset. Israel doesn't normally talk like that. Everybody else, including us, we shoot our mouths off. We're going to blow you up like you've never been blown up before. When Israel says we're going to show you a thing or two, you don't want Israel to ever tell you that. Because guess what? They don't threaten. They never threaten. So I don't know what they have, but that is quite a statement. Next. So if war with Elam comes, internal conflicts will be put into deep freeze. That just means that the Israeli government, which is greatly divided like ours, have agreed to unify for the preservation of Israel. Next. This is great. Modi, how do you say Modi? So Prime Minister of India. You never know where he's going to go from any given day, but this is a good statement. Next. See, this is the concern. Elam's rising confidence, backed by China and Russia, triggers Pentagon warnings over risk of a broader war. See that? Next. Yes, so all Americans are out now of Lebanon because Hezbollah, they anticipate Hezbollah acting up. Okay, I think we have to go. We have to go. Turkey, that's Turkey. Turkey, House of Togomar in the book of Ezekiel. Sunni ring. So remember, Sunni, Shia. So keep going. NATO surveillance, Iran, Turkey, Ankara. That's okay. That's. Okay, yes, keep going. We have too much. Yes, so this has been a big confirmation this week is the chemical biological warheads that Iran, Elam, supposedly is having or producing. Next. This is some psychological warfare at the very least. Trump is considering assassinating the son of Iran's supreme leader. That may never happen, but if you're the supreme leader and you hear a guy who's very unpredictable, Trump, say that, in that world, do you understand everybody? In that world, you have to have a son to carry on this thing that God has told you to do. I think Trump's playing with his head. We are so out of time. Let's end with this, which is actually a good thing to end with because it's necessary. Last Sunday, in one of the messages, I don't know which one, I could find out, but in one of the messages last Sunday, I made mention about the fact that it's been rumored about that if we go after Iran, to, and you know, you guys all know the reason why, right? In fact, this week, remarkably, Europe has all of a sudden fallen in love with us. Because this week, Iran has made it known that they have now a nuclear warhead that can hit London. And so as soon as that was said, everybody ran on over and started waving American flags. They also said, you can park your B-52s here and your B-2 bombers. And we did. We did. They're there now. That said, I made mention of what's been rumored about, that it may be one of the, or it may be the trigger point, that if the U.S. and Iran get into it, that it will set off cells that are here in the United States. I know if you follow Monkey Works by any chance, the former, do you? Yeah, I do too. The CIA, he's retired now, but he's the guy that got in big trouble because he knows too much. He's the guy that, he was the guy who found Nord Stream. You know the Nord Stream explosion? He found it and published it, and he wound up being questioned. How'd you know about this? He said, which I'm, it's great, but not unnecessary, but he said, hey, Jack Hibbs said this about Iran, and that's a very serious concern because that could be very, very real. And then yesterday, this morning, the New York Times confirmed all that. And we're quite shocked. And so I don't know if we have that slide or not, but this entanglement, if it doesn't go well, that it could bode very, very bad for the homeland here where we're at because of the cells that have come in with the open border policies that are housed and set up in a lot of them in California, Texas, everywhere. So I know this is just not, this is not church like normal, right? I get that. Why did we? Now, I'm not saying to be, don't shout and yell and holler. What concerns me about all of this and where we as believers need to intercede for our nation, and let's be honest, if you and I die, we go home to glory. But there's a lot of people in our nation that, if a whole lot of people die, a lot of them wind up in hell. And we should be very, very, very sad about that. And so, if God is using this Trump administration for such a time as this to fulfill Jeremiah 49, then we're going to watch it happen. I don't know what kind of fallout we'll see, if any. I don't know. If that's not what's going on, if this is the demise of the United States of America because we will not be able to get out of the Mediterranean or the Persian Gulf, if it sets a fire off in every town or city in the United States by these terrorist cells, let me ask you, why would you as a government leave your borders unchecked and wide open for 4 years? Why? Why would you intentionally do that when you even know that an Iranian IRG colonel, current active colonel in the Iranian Republican Guard, was arrested crossing into California from Mexico, was spotted and somehow recognized and arrested and found out to be an active colonel in the Iranian army. And you still leave your borders open. Right. Don't answer. I'm just asking, why did we do this? This part makes me shudder, people, and this is why I want you to make sure your walk is right with Jesus. What if God had Biden in office so that the borders would be left open to set this nation up to be dealt with because of all of our sins and all of our what if. You see, Jack, well, you've taken us from one pendulum to the other. I know. I know it. You should be glad that I'm not up here telling you how it's going to happen, because nobody knows how it's going to happen. But we have never been in a situation like this. When your enemy believes that their God told them to create the most massive fireball possible so that their Messiah can return, that is Islamic theology. And you say, I don't believe it. You don't have to believe it. They do. Please pray that we as a country and as Christians in America would repent. Ask God for mercy. What am I talking about? Let's do it. Let's stand up. I know it's an unusual night, but today's an unusual day. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, if we only had the heart and the vocabulary of a Daniel, we would be able to accurately and passionately confess the sins of our nation like he did. Lord, we ask you to have mercy on the United States of America. Lord, we confess we are an arrogant nation and we are proud and we are so often godless because we so often do not seek you. We become so complacent because of our wealth and affluence that the blessings we've turned into curses. We've become so narcissistic that all we can think about is ourselves and our time and what's in it for me instead of our neighbor. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. Please have mercy. And Lord, I'm terrified tonight because our government leaders are boasting in the most powerful military on the face of the earth. And you told us to never do that. You told us to never trust in chariots and never trust in horses. Lord, only you know how it's going to go. But this we know, it is your will that all hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of each and every one of us and all of mankind. He paid the debt for our sins personally, but salvation only belongs to those who will come to you repenting of their sin, changing their heart and mind toward you, and accepting you as crucified Savior and resurrected Lord, and to determine tonight to walk with you. Salvation is of the Lord. Father, we pray that you'd give our leaders wisdom, that they'd be led by your Holy Spirit. Lord, if you can speak through Balaam's donkey, you can speak and lead anyone, anywhere. Lord, one of those aircraft carriers, one of the most lethal things on the planet, and yet I remember, Lord, little over 2 years ago, that very aircraft carrier hosted a drag queen parade on the flight deck. And if I were you, I would have sunk the ship right then and there. But thank God you're not me. It's that kind of stuff we need to repent of. That makes you sick and angry. So Lord, I don't know how this is going to go. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we know you who holds tomorrow. May every single one of us confirm that we have a real walk with you. And we give it all to you now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.